This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose, and I've been trying with my small contributions to talk about springtime flowers. So you might remember that I talked about daffodils and hyacinths, and today and perhaps the next time I would like to talk about tulips. The story of the tulip is about a flower that made men mad. Greed, desire, anguish, devotion have all played their part in the development of the tulip from a wildflower of the Asian steppes to the worldwide phenomenon it is today. The U.S. alone imports 3,000 million tulip bulbs each year, Germany and France even more. Why did the tulip dominate so many lives through so many centuries in so many countries? No other flower has ever carried so much cultural baggage. It charts political upheavals, illuminates social behavior, mirrors economic booms and busts, plots the ebb and flow of religious persecution. The tulip made great fortunes for people, but it was responsible for equally spectacular bankruptcies. Millions of aficionados now gaze in awe at the brilliant flower pieces painted in the early 17th century by Dutch master painters. But at the time they were painted, these works of art were considered as cheap substitutes for the real flowers. Roaming through Asia, India, Russia, and the Ottoman Empire, we learn, as we study the tulip, how it arrived from Turkey and took the whole of Western Europe by storm. When I decided to talk about the tulip, I dug out books in our plant library, and so I will be using primarily a book called The Tulip by Anna Pivord, and also another book called Tulipomania by Mike Dash, and a section of Michael Pollan's The Botany of Desire, and a little bit from Mirabel Osler's A Gentle Plea for Chaos. If you were to look into the history of tulips, you would learn that in Amsterdam in 1637, for the cost of a single tulip bulb, you could buy 4 oxen, or 12 sheep, or 24 tons of wheat, or 2 hogsheads of wine, or 2 tons of butter, or 4 barrels of beer, or 1,000 pounds of cheese, or a silver drinking cup, or an oak bed, or a ship. Well, that financial situation soon changed dramatically. As far as Western Europe is concerned, this tulip story began in Turkey, from where in the mid-16th century European travelers brought back news of the brilliant and until then unknown Lille Rouge. They thought it was a lily, so prized by the Turks. In fact, they were not lilies at all, but tulips. In April 1559, the Zurich physician and botanist Conrad Gesner saw the tulip flowering for the first time in the splendid gardens made by the Emperor of Bavaria. He described its gleaming red petals and its sensuous scent in a book published 2 years later, the first known report of the flower growing in Western Europe. The tulip, wrote Gesner, had sprung from a seed which had come from Constantinople, or as others say, from that flower and from its wild cousins gathered over the next 300 years from the steppes of Siberia, from Afghanistan, Beirut, the Crimea, and the Caucasus, and from the Marmaris Peninsula. More than 5,500 different tulips are listed in the International Register published regularly since 1929. Holland was the setting for one of the strangest episodes in the long, mesmerizing story of the tulip. Tulipomania that raged in Holland between 1634 and 1637 has puzzled historians and economists ever since. How could it ever have happened that single bulbs of certain kinds of tulips could change hands for sums that would have secured a townhouse in the best quarter of Amsterdam? How was it possible that at the height of the tulip fever, a bulb weighing 2.15 azen could sell for 5,400 guilders, the equivalent of 15 years' wages for an average Amsterdam bricklayer? Certain facts are brought forward to support less certain theories. The setting up of the Dutch East India Company in 1602 and Amsterdam's increasing importance as a port marked the beginning of an era of great prosperity for the Dutch. Merchants became rich, and in their wake, lawyers, doctors, pharmacists, and jewelers did too. The house of one of the keepers of the tulips grew clustered around a mirrored gazebo. The mirrors gave the illusion that the hundreds of blooms were thousands. This book, The Tulip by Anna Pivard, does explain these money denominations, so we have a clearer picture of how it relates to the dollar. She tells about how one of the bulbs, Semper Augustus, the most beautifully marked of all red and white striped tulips of the early 17th century, how by the 1640s, when tulipomania was critically over, there were thought to be only 12 bulbs of Semper Augustus still in existence, priced at 12,000 guilders each. This was the equivalent of three times the average wage in 17th century Holland. If you could not afford the flowers themselves, you commissioned an artist to paint the tulips for you. And so a lot of the masterpieces in Dutch flower painting came into being at this time. The last of the big spenders bid at an auction of tulip bulbs 99 lots, which realized 90,000 guilders, perhaps as much as 6 million pounds in today's money. Because the sale was held in February, the waits recorded, you didn't know what the flower would look like. She tells about how when some of these precious bulbs were shipped, the person unpacking them thought it was an onion, put salt and pepper on it, and ate it. So tulip lovers were not that well informed. Some of them weren't. And at that time, some of the most beautiful tulips with striations and beautiful color changes were the tulips that they called breaks. Turned out that these tulips, so gorgeous in their stripes and interesting patterns, were actually afflicted by a virus, aphids that were really making them much too weak to be viable. And they didn't know this at the time, so a lot of the breaks were sold at very high prices. The very word virus was not understood in the modern sense until the 1880s. Only the advent of the electron microscope in the late 1920s gave researchers the necessary means to unravel its true nature. And just by the evidence of their own inquiring eyes, early growers had 1,000 theories about the best way to bring about this magical break. Some charlatans sold miracle recipes for the purpose. At that time, some fools bought them. Pigeon dung was a favorite catalyst, they said. Plaster from old walls and water that ran down from dung hills. Some growers, taking their cue from contemporary alchemists' own attempts to turn base metal into gold, tried to transmute the flowers. Indeed, it was rather better, for while the alchemists consistently failed in their endeavors, it seemed that tulip growers occasionally succeeded. They just didn't know why. When they finally discovered that aphids were the vectors, the carriers of the virus from bulb to bulb, those tulips lost their worth. Unfortunately, the break tulips are no longer available. There are so many, many more things that could be said about the tulip. Well, this is my story. Perennially, I have too much and too little time. But I hope next time I come to you through Petals and Prose, we'll talk again about the tulip. This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose.